Now on MormonChannel.org, the Mormon Channel present Q&A, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
From The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. We ask you to provide us with the questions, and we try to answer those questions for you. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. Now, here at the Mormon Channel, we receive a lot of thought-provoking questions, interesting questions, and we received one of those questions a couple of weeks ago that says, quote, "What was the most common thread in the young lives of our modern-day prophets that made them such powerful men?" Close quote. A question such as this could have a lot of different answers. There are a lot of different things that our modern-day prophets have had in common that ultimately led to their individual spiritual strength. Many of them, like Nephi of old, were blessed with righteous parents who molded and shaped them through their gospel development. President David O. McKay often spoke of the effect that his parents and home had on his spiritual life. President McKay said, quote, "My home life from boyhood to present time has been the greatest factor in giving me moral and spiritual standards and in shaping the course of my life," close quote. In matters of the spirit, President McKay was moved upon at a young age by the testimony of his father. He said, quote, "As a boy, I sat and heard the testimony from one whom I treasured and honored as I treasured no other man in the world," close quote. Similarly, President Hinckley stressed that many of his greatest lessons were imparted to him by his mother. He said, quote, "When I was a small boy in the first grade, I experienced what I thought to be a rather tough day at school. I came home, walked in the house, and threw my books on the kitchen table and let forth an expletive. My mother was shocked. She told me quietly but firmly how wrong I was. She told me that I could not have words of that kind coming out of my mouth. She led me by the hand to the bathroom where she took from the shelf a clean washcloth, put it under the faucet, and then generously coated it with soap. She said, 'We'll have to wash out your mouth.' She told me to open it, and I did so reluctantly. Then she rubbed the soapy washcloth around my tongue and teeth, and I sputtered and fumed and felt like swearing again, but I didn't. I rinsed and rinsed my mouth, but it was a long while before the soapy taste was gone. In fact, whenever I think of that experience, I can still taste the soap. The lesson was worthwhile. I am grateful for that lesson," close quote. In many ways, our Latter-day prophets have been the products of righteous homes and supportive parents and family. A study of the lives of these righteous leaders reveals that they had much in common as young men. Most of them gained early relationships with the Lord, served righteous missions, and married in the temple. In some ways, however, these spiritual accomplishments came as a result of one common theme. Nearly all of the prophets of our dispensation developed an early love of the Scriptures. Joseph Smith's spiritual yearning stemmed from a study of the Scriptures. His love for the study of the Bible was instrumental in preparing him for his prophetic calling. In his personal history found in the Pearl of Great Price, the prophet said, quote, "My mind at times was greatly excited. The cry and tumult were so great and incessant. The Presbyterians were most decided against the Baptist and Methodist, and used all powers of both reason and sophistry to prove their errors, or at least to make the people think that they were in error. On the other hand, the Baptists and Methodists in their turn were equally zealous in endeavoring to establish their own tenets and disprove all others. In the midst of this war of words and tumult of opinions, I often said to myself, 'What is to be done? Who of all these parties are right? Or are they all wrong together? If any of them be right, which is it? And how shall I know it?' While I was laboring under the extreme difficulties caused by the contests of these parties of religionists, I was one day reading the Epistle of James, 1st chapter and 5th verse, which reads, 'If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.' Never did any passage of Scripture come with more power to the heart of man than this did at this time to mine. It seemed to enter with great force into every feeling of my heart. I reflected on it again and again, knowing that if any person needed wisdom from God, I did. For how to act, I did not know. And unless I could get more wisdom than I then had, I would never know. For the teachers of religion of the different sects understood the same passage of Scripture so differently as to destroy all confidence in settling the question by an appeal to the Bible. Close quote. For President Joseph Fielding Smith, reading and pondering the Scriptures was perhaps his greatest source of joy as a child. He explained, saying, quote, "From my earliest recollection, from the time I first could read, I have received more pleasure and greater satisfaction out of the study of the Scriptures and reading of the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophet Joseph Smith and the work that has been accomplished for the salvation of man than from anything else in all the world." Close quote. However, regular study of the Scriptures was not necessarily something that came natural to all of the brethren. Like many of us, they worked hard to develop righteous habits of Scripture study, often setting and achieving goals in the process. As a young man, Spencer W. Kimball did just that, gaining a testimony of the Scriptures as a result. President Kimball said, quote, "Once I heard a forceful appeal by a woman from the Mutual. She gave a rousing talk on the reading of the Scriptures and making them our own. She then stopped her dissertation to ask this mixed congregation, about 1,000 of us, how many of you have read the Bible through? I think I was about 14 years old at the time. An accusing guilt complex spread over me. I had read many books by that time, the funny papers and light books, but my accusing heart said to me, 'You, Spencer, you have never read that holy book. Why?' I looked around me at the people in front and on both sides of the hall to see if I was alone in my failure to read this sacred book. Of the 1,000 people, there were perhaps 6 who proudly raised their hands. I slumped down in my seat. I had no thought for the others who had also failed, but only a deep accusing thought for myself. I don't know what the other people were doing and thinking, but I heard no more of the sermon. It had accomplished its work. When the meeting closed, I sought the large double exit door and rushed to my home, a block east of the chapel, and was gritting my teeth and saying to myself, 'I will, I will, I will.' Entering the back door of our family home, I went to the kitchen shelf where we kept the coal oil lamps, selected one of them that was full of oil and had a newly trimmed wick, and climbed the stairs to my attic room. There I opened the Bible and began on Genesis, first chapter, first verse, and I read well into the night with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Enoch and Noah and through the flood, even to Abraham." Close quote. President Kimball read night after night until he reached his goal, finishing the Bible in its entirety. For him, however, Scripture study was more than just sitting in front of a book. President Kimball said, quote, "When I was 9 years old, I milked 9 cows each day at my home in Thatcher, Arizona. I thought, what a waste of time to sit on a 3-legged stool. Maybe there is something else I could do while I am milking. So I sang the songs of Zion until I knew all the well-known hymns that are generally sung. And then I said, well, I've got to do something more. So I got a copy of the Articles of Faith, and I put them on the ground right beside me, and I went through them over and over again 1,000 times. Then I got a copy of the 10 Commandments. I typed them up on cards and took them out with me where I milked and repeated them over and over until I knew them by heart. Then as I got a little closer to my mission, I typed Scriptures that I thought would be helpful to me, and I learned them, so that when I went on my mission, I would be prepared for it. If every Latter-day Saint would do this, I think it would be a wonderful thing." Close quote. For President Kimball, the knowledge found in the Scriptures, however he could get it, represented a strength upon which the important decisions of youth can and should be based. He explained, quote, "We learn the lessons of life more readily and surely if we see the results of wickedness and righteousness in the lives of others. To know the patriarchs and prophets of ages past and their faithfulness under stress and temptations and persecutions strengthens the resolves of youth." Close quote. It seems that this has always been the standard among leaders of the Lord's Church. In the Book of Mormon, the prophet Mormon learned of the value of the Scriptures at a young age. Quote, "And about the time that Amaron hid up the records unto the Lord, he came unto me, I being about 10 years of age, and I began to be learned somewhat after the manner of the learning of my people. And Amaron said unto me, I perceive that thou art a sober child, and art quick to observe. Therefore, when ye are about 24 years old, I would that ye should remember remember the things which ye have observed concerning this people. And when ye are of that age, go to the land of Antium, unto a hill which shall be called Shim. And there I have deposited unto the Lord all the sacred engravings concerning this people. And behold, ye shall take the plates of Nephi unto yourself, and the remainder shall ye leave in the place where they are. And ye shall engrave on the plates of Nephi all the things that ye have observed concerning this people." Close quote. That from Mormon, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It would seem that an early love of the Scriptures and an understanding of their importance has provided the Lord's anointed with spiritual purpose with the passing of each dispensation, and this, the final one, is no exception. In addition to acting as living witnesses, pulling from personal experience and proven testimony, many of the modern prophets have taught the importance of Scripture study at a young age. President Harold B. Lee taught the joys that would come into the lives of children as they begin to make the Scriptures their own by possessing their own copies from a very young age. He said, quote, "One of the hopes that we have is that the four standard works will be in the possession of every boy and girl, and that on Easter, on birthdays, on Christmas, on New Year's, you make this a part of your family giving to your children, so they may have the joy of personally owning the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price, and from these precious pages begin to be instructed in the ways of the Lord." Close quote. President Ezra Taft Benson emphasized the importance of fostering a love of the Scriptures in the lives of gospel youth. He taught that there is a power in daily Scripture immersion, one that is imperative for righteous parents to teach their children to find. President Benson said, quote, "Let us not treat lightly the great things which we have received from the hand of the Lord. His word is one of the most valuable gifts he has given us. I urge you to recommit yourself to study the Scriptures. Immerse yourself in them daily so you will have the power of the Spirit to attend you in your calling. Read them in your families and teach your children to love and treasure them." Close quote. Our modern-day prophets, including President Benson, are proof of the tremendous effect that the love of the Word of God can have on the lives of a young Latter-day Saint. President George Albert Smith taught of the important role of parents in this process. President Smith said, quote, "In our homes, it is our privilege, nay, it is our duty, to call our families together to be taught the truths of the Holy Scriptures. In every home, children should be encouraged to read the Word of the Lord, as it has been revealed to us in all dispensations. We should read the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. Not only read it in our homes, but explain it to our children, that they may understand the dealings of God with the peoples of the earth." Close quote. In the Book of Mormon, Nephi emphasized the importance of understanding the dealings of God as well. Not only does it demonstrate God's love and mercy for his people, but it can also provide powerful insights into his relationship with us. Quote, "And I did read many things unto them which were written in the books of Moses. But that I might more fully persuade them to believe in the Lord their Redeemer, I did read unto them that which was written by the prophet Isaiah. For I did liken all Scripture unto us, that it might be for our profit and learning." Close quote. That from 1 Nephi, chapter 19, verse 23. According to President Thomas S. Monson, this message taught so long ago applies as much to the modern church as it ever did to the ancient church. Regularly studying the Scriptures and applying them has always been a key to spiritual strength. From the April 2009 General Conference, President Monson talks about day-to-day Scripture study.
Crash courses are not nearly so effective as the day-to-day reading and application of the Scriptures in our lives. Become acquainted with the lessons the Scriptures teach. Learn the background and setting of the Master's parables and the prophet's admonitions. Study them as though they were speaking to you, for such is the truth. The prophet Lehi and his son Nephi were shown in vision the importance of obtaining and then holding fast to the Word of God. Concerning the rod of iron shown him, Nephi said this to his disbelieving brothers, Laman and Lemuel, "And I said unto them that the rod was the Word of God, and whoso would hearken unto the Word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness, to lead them away to destruction. Wherefore, I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of God. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul and with all the faculty which I possessed, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. I promise you, whether you hold the Aaronic or the Melchizedek priesthood, that if you will study the scriptures diligently, your power to avoid temptation and to receive direction of the Holy Ghost in all you do will be increased.
That's President Thomas S. Monson. As President Monson taught, and as Nephi understood, the true purpose of the scriptures in molding the minds and actions of the youth is teaching of the Savior. Quote, "And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins." Close quote. That from 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 26. This is a testimony that the majority of our modern prophets came to know while they were in their youth. It is a testimony that is gained by feasting upon the words of Christ, and it surely represents the most common thread of righteousness that made these great men what they are. From the April 1984 General Conference, President Ezra Taft Benson talks about feasting on the words.
More than any time in our history, brothers and sisters, we have need for greater spirituality. The way to develop greater spirituality is to feast on the words of Christ as revealed in the scriptures. One of the most significant happenings in recent church history is the publication of the new editions of the standard works and the new footnotes and other helps. I think we can say without exaggeration that never before in any dispensation have the saints been so abundantly blessed with the words of the Lord and his prophets. Now our challenge is to do as the Lord commanded. Study my word, he said, which hath gone forth among the children of men.
That's President Ezra Taft Benson. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. And if you'd like to download this episode as a podcast, it's free. You can go to our website, mormonchannel.org, and download this program. Join us next time for another episode of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.